You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Here's Marshall! Great defensive play on the run out. Exum waiting, finishing! Dallas up by eight!
Despite the win, the Mavs continue to take some L's in the injury department. Thanks for waking up with us here, Sean and RJ, on a Friday. Happy Valentine's Day. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Schiaffalo with the G-Bag Nation. We got Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe running things in the Pimp Cup. And we are on Twitch and YouTube live there on the Dallas Fan Cam. Now, we got to get ready for All-Star Weekend. And the Mavs with basically everybody in street clothes. Second night of a back-to-back. No Kyrie. And they're just trying to piece something together here. And what do? They rise to the occasion. There was Max Christie.
There was some
Dante Exum.
There was an awful photo yesterday. You say everybody in street clothes. It's like AP photo. The Mavericks bench celebrates. And you just see like their whole roster wearing just like t-shirts and like jeans.
All their good players.
It's like, it was like Kyrie, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively, like all these people like, yeah!
PJ.
And they're like in like their the outfits they showed up to the arena in. It's like, gosh, that's sad. Like normally you'd cut to like you'd use a photo of players on the court celebrating, but you got to go to the guys who are in their street clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Recognizable faces and they're all on the bench. But Dante Exum was in his bag last night, 27 points. Max Christie continues to impress with 19 points. The defense is fantastic. He turned the ball over a little bit, and he was not efficient from the three-point line, but the confidence is there, and you have something in Max Christie right now, for sure.
He's good. He's going to be... Look, AD was obviously the best player to come from that, but like Max Christie is the guy who I think is... He's going to be the easiest one to win over Mavs fans. Because there was, such little expectations. He's young, so you feel like, oh, there's a potential, there's a future here. And I don't think people tie him directly to you were for Luka, like the way they do with AD. And AD,
that's a good point.
There's nothing AD has done wrong other than get hurt, which doesn't do anything wrong. It's his injury history. But I feel like Mavericks fans they're going to always view AD as you were for Luka, whereas Max Christie's just like, oh, that's just a guy we added, and he's fun to watch. I like him. So he's got a lot, like, it's not nearly as sharp of a curve as Anthony Davis is going to have to deal with.
Well, this is a tough time now for the Mavericks. They're going to be playing small ball for a while. We got the report from Shams last night. It's a grade 3 right MCL sprain for Daniel Gafford, so he's going to be missing at least the next 6 weeks. You already have Derek Lively out for a while, and then Anthony Davis, it looks like it's going to be probably another 4 weeks for him, according to Tim McMahon. So, I mean, this is going to be your if you can even stay in the play-in area, and then you get your bigs back, and you have really no continuity. You're just going right into postseason play. Yep. And seeing if you can put something together here. So it is admirable what these guys are doing right now, fighting. Thank God that the Heat were also on the second out of a back-to-back last night, and they were also tore up when it comes to the injuries. No Adebayo, no Andrew Wiggins, and some other dudes that they were missing last night, but It's just it's so frustrating. The injuries that they've had this season, I can't remember a more injury plagued season for one of my teams. Like this was, I mean, the Cowboys had it really, really bad this year too, just across the board. The injuries with some DFW sports right now, but man, the Mavericks, they just cannot get out of the way of the injuries.
Yeah, it's as bad of an injury stretch as DFW's seen, because the Rangers had a ton of injuries last year that they had to deal with. Like, they were decimated year long.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the Cowboys had all their injuries that they had to deal with, and then you roll into the Mavericks and all the injuries they had to deal with, and it's just, it's been overwhelming this year. And look, I'll give them credit for, I know a lot of people aren't happy right now. It feels like the Mavericks the last 2 days they've finally learned, just shut up, stop talking, don't try to explain it anymore, don't try to tell fans how to feel about it, just shut up and let them be upset, and it'll be over quicker. And I think you're starting to see that a little bit. And one of the things that I think fans are taking notice of the last couple days, this team plays very hard. They all play incredibly hard, and they fight and they scrap.
Like these guys, it's a likable team.
And the coaching staff's doing a good job. The coaching staff has done a good job the last couple days. That's one of the things that I think, those are the two overriding things you're hearing from fans right now that are the only positives you're hearing are, man, they fight, and man, the coaching staff's doing a good job, you know, cobbling together some competitive basketball along the way. But I did see our good buddy Calvin Watkins from the Dallas Morning News. I know you're a Calvin Watkins fan.
Love
Who isn't?
Love
awesome
him.
Dude. He's
probably smoking a cigar right now
and
for breakfast.
Probably with his little Tolo flask. He told me when we were giving those out at the firehouse tour, he's like, you need to snatch me one of those. And he did. He'll take photos with it. He'll tag us in it when he's drinking out of
little
it.
Little bourbon and stogie breakfast.
Absolutely. So he's awesome. But Calvin caught the ire of Mavs fans yesterday.
Oh, did he?
11 o'clock last night. He tweets, Mavs fans need to move on and root for this team. Bunch of fighters. It's like, yeah, they're a bunch of fighters. I don't think Calvin knew what he was walking into with the, y'all need to move on. Or then again, knowing Calvin, he knew exactly what he was moving into, and he just went, who cares? All right, come for me.
I mean, the AAC has reflected a bunch of Mavs fans who are rooting for this team.
Yeah.
They are rooting for them, but you're also still fed up with the front office.
Brad Sham replied to it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Sham's in favor of this.
No.
Right? Really?
He said, you can root for them and not move on. He said, hold the hate if it makes your heart happy, but compartmentalize. These guys playing, you just can't ask for more of them.
Wow. I mean, very rational.
I think Brad Sham. I think Sham hit it out of the park there.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be either or here, but the Mavs injuries continue to pile up. They're going to be playing with no bigs. Caleb Martin, if and when you come back, get ready to learn the center position.
What is this? This is going to be like 22? When Kevon Looney was picking up 30 rebounds a game against them in the West Finals.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're in store for here until we get our big man Avengers back. Now, I think that the play in the NBA last night, though, took place in Minnesota with Anthony Edwards posterizing old Chet.
Keep the ball moving. Edwards drives in on Wiggins. Oh!
Edwards! A serious rack attack!
Iron Eagle. It's perfect. It's either Iron Eagle or it's Kevin Harlan. Those are the men for the job in a moment like that. The T-Wolves beat the Thunder 116-101. Anthony Edwards with an absolute facial on Chet.
Goodness, that sounds aggressive. Choppy, have you heard Choppy's awful take on this? On Iron Eagle and
Kevin Harlan?
Kevin Harlan.
No.
He said, their intensity is too much for the regular season. He doesn't ever want to hear them call in a game unless it's a big game. Because he said, I don't need you to get all worked up for game 47 of the NBA season. It's too much intensity for me. Throttle it back a little bit, bub.
Unbelievable.
Awful take.
That is a bad take.
Awful take.
Of all the bad choppy takes, that's right up there.
Now,
with some of the worst.
We had the, it was mentioned that they were trying to get Anthony Edwards from the Minnesota Timberwolves for Luka. Do you think that trade, we were talking about this with Mike the other day, do you think that trade goes over better if you get Anthony Edwards instead of Anthony Davis? Even though Anthony Davis may be a better player right now.
I do think it probably goes over better because of the youth factor, and you still have...
Oh, he would be a star. He would be embraced here.
Yes, but it also wouldn't have made much sense. You're seeing the Timberwolves struggle this year. Without Karl Anthony Towns, their offense, like, it's been really, really bad. And Anthony Edwards has been super frustrated about it.
Do you think Karl Anthony Towns is wiped the tears from his eyes enough to look up and notice that they're struggling?
Oh, yes. I'm sure he checks the box scores every single night and loves it when they barely reach 100 points.
Who has shed more athlete tears, Caleb Williams or Carl Anthony Towns?
I'm still going to go Caleb Williams here. I watched him cry in his mom's bosom after a college football game. It's embarrassing.
Bosom's such a good word.
But the thing with Anthony Edwards, too, though, it's like we just watched Luka take down Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves, right. And Luka was the difference in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Anthony Edwards huffing and puffing in the tunnel in the fourth quarter of some of those playoff games because he had the oxygen mask on.
Starting five, the Netflix series, they have that clip of him going like, I shouldn't have called Kyrie out. I was winded.
Yeah.
I should not have called Kyrie out. It's actually, it's a good transition point. Starting five is where we get our next good bit of audio, Eric Chiafalo, because Starting Five, which is the ongoing NBA documentary that follows around different players, Anthony Edwards, LeBron is one of them. So LeBron was apparently trying on, and it's very sad, you don't want to see the clip, because as he's trying on these all-star shorts in the Lakers locker room, you see over his shoulder the red number 3 all-star jersey for Anthony Davis hanging there in that locker room. So this is a pre-Luka trade clip, but this is pretty funny. This is LeBron trying on the shorts for the NBA All-Star Game and feeling like they were a little bit of the Hoochie Daddy shorts, that they were a little too short for his liking.
Damn! You're in the 80s? The f***? Who gave me these shorts?
Come on, Brian.
No, listen, I'm not like these younger guys. No, I need some longer shorts. Who I got? I can't walk. I'm not like this. This is for Bronny, not for this. Is I'm senior. I can't hoop like Clyde and them used to do back in the day. I need a little flow of my.
Now, when you were a pickup basketball guy, were you a pickup basketball guy growing up?
Absolutely.
Were you the Hoochie Daddies?
Absolutely not.
No, you gotta have the like over the kneecap or a little above.
Yeah,
with flow though.
Somewhere in the kneecap range for sure. And I mean, whenever I was growing up, I loved the baggy clothes, like elementary and middle school. It was like baggy shorts, baggy jeans. Less so now, obviously. When I wear shorts, they're probably a good maybe 2 inches above the knee or
why?
So. Just because
you're going with the times?
It's comfort, not going dude. With the times. No, because it's still comfortable to me. I can't do it too tight, and I can't have it to where we're showing where it's like some of these dudes I see now constantly, and they're showing as much thigh, it feels like, as a female would, wearing like Daisy Duke kind of shorts.
Yeah.
It's not far off.
Caleb Williams.
And that's a little bit over the top. I don't do that.
Peyton does. Peyton and Choppy will both wear the Lululemon like 10-inch shorts.
These are fives. These are 5-inch ones.
Whatever they are.
Five?
Five, yeah.
Dude.
I think I have some threes, but yeah, it's got to be above the knee.
Did you ever watch Reno 911?
Yes.
They are dangle shorts is what he's got. And by you know what I mean by dangle,
oh,
too.
Lieutenant Dangle.
There's a double entendre there for these shorts that he's got.
You can't comfortably sit down and be in anybody's sight lines.
I don't know, man. These Lulus are nice. They got some extra padding, okay?
I mean, it seems over the top with some of these shorts these days. But
like
I'm glad to hear LeBron's not trying to do the overly short and tight.
And hasn't LeBron typically, we've thought of him as like kind of a, he's a little bit of a pick me at times, we feel like.
Yeah.
And so for him to just go counterculture and go like,
Not doing it.
I need the baggy shorts. I'm not doing this.
What was Shaq doing last night? We gotta hear this. TNT crew getting ready for All-Star Weekend, and Shaq just kind of crashed out a little bit.
In the words of Marshawn Lynch, I'm tired of shit, America. We get fired anyway, Ernie.
I'm tired as S. We're getting fired anyway, Ernie. F it.
I don't know. And I have no idea. Like, I have no context for what happened. This just clip was getting passed around last night of him crashing out at the very end. He's laughing about it, clearly, but when he said the tired as S, Ernie like shot him this look, and that's when he just goes like, "We're all getting fired, F it." Which that's got to be a nice feeling to be able to have that approach if you want, like to just say
it's liberating.
Yeah, just say screw it. I'm gonna say what I want, or I'm gonna do what I'm. Maybe he's just emboldened by all the praise Patrick Dumont gave him as like an all-time NBA workout.
Oh my gosh, dude, Dumont, what a schmo. Okay, what do we have? It's Caitlin Clark, your arch nemesis. Is she ruining things for us this weekend?
So Caitlin Clark is, I mean, she's brave. She's awesome or whatever. But Caitlin Clark had, she had bowed out of the 3-point shooting competition. The, you know, that duo competition they did last year where Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu were doing a 3-point competition together and they were going up against another NBA player and another 3-point shooter. So Caitlin Clark had bowed out of this event. She's like, nah, bro. I want my first 3-point competition to be WNBA. I'm loyal to the brand. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to jump in on any NBAS. And because of that, they are now canceling the 3-point competition, the duo 3-point competition. So in her attempt to like, nope, I'm going to set things forward a little bit. She's now just completely scrapped the female presence at the NBA All-Star Weekend and the 3-point shooting contest because that has been canceled now because they don't have another opponent to go across from. So Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu, the one time and only time champions of this duo competition. Caitlin Clark went ahead and got it canceled.
So. Wow, no battle of the sexes. And it's at the Oracle. Mm-hmm. This was supposed to be Steph's cool. They were going to do like Steph and Clay versus Sabrina and Caitlin.
Yeah.
Would have been really, really cool. I get Caitlin, though, wanting to kind of, I mean, they need her more than she needs them. Let's be real.
This isn't ESPN. You don't have to justify the existence of the WNBA.
All right, let's go commercial.
KG and Reggie left.
Commercial free to the top here, Expressway style here on a Friday. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. Is CeeDee Lamb being too honest? That's next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go. Commercial free. Ladies and gentlemen, great to have you in on a Friday here. Sean and RJ, they will be back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. Is CeeDee Lamb being a little bit too honest here? 877-881-1053. And then we'll get you to the junk drawer and a Peyton surprise as well coming up here in just a few minutes. We also have the college baseball ticket giveaway, so be on the lookout for that at 877-881-1053. And friendly reminder, myself along with Zach Wolchuk and Brian Broaddus, tomorrow we will be at Hurtado Barbecue in Dallas, their brand new location, grand opening fan appearance from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be recording a Love of the Star live from Hurtado, and we'll be talking ball, drinking some good drink, and eating the best barbecue in town.
So what time will you actually be doing the podcast? Because 11 to 2, that's a big window. So what are you going to be doing, a three-hour show here?
No. We're just going to be fellowshipping, having a good time throughout the majority. I think we'll probably spend 45 to 60 minutes doing the podcast, maybe from noon to 1.
Okay, so yeah, because I don't think I can be there till noon, and I want to be there to boo.
You want to be able to heckle.
Nobody's going to come boo on it. Like, nobody's going to come ask for me back on my behalf. So I think I got to go to represent and pretend like I'm somebody else.
Go
on
be
the
a
recording.
voice, for yourself.
A voice out there. And just like, really, not for you so much, mainly for Wolchuk, which we'll get into at 8:20, but mainly just trash Wolchuk's takes.
Wolchuk poked the bear that is Bobby Belt yesterday. I didn't hear the sound, so I'll be hearing it for the first time in 1 hour.
Yeah.
And we'll see just how serious this beef is.
By the way, Peyton, I'm going to be sending you sound here within the next hour.
But yes, Hurtado Barbecue, Dallas tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Broaddus is ready to give you all the draft takes, man. I mean, he is itching to let him fly. So you just go over there and pepper him with questions. He's going to appreciate every single one of them.
Dude, there's nothing better than getting Broaddus at one of these events and getting a couple drinks in him and then hitting him with just some like, hey, give me your like unfiltered thoughts on XYZ football topic. And he'll give it to you.
Yes,
and
he
it's,
will.
It's a treat. This is going to be well worth it. Not to just mention the Burrilla tacos. They're fantastic. And everything else that they do at Hurtado.
That's right. Dominance. 10 out of 10.
What's your order there?
I'm all about the Burrilla tacos.
They're good.
Or the Bedia tacos.
I don't know. I never say it. I know Tolo Lori Brown. She's corrected Sean on this a number of times. Like, he's not saying it right. So I don't think I just said it right.
B-I.
But no, there's like a, you're supposed to say it a certain way, and I didn't say it right.
Media.
I know I didn't say it. So, Lori, if you're listening, Lori, tell us what it is, because I know I didn't get it right.
Okay, CeeDee Lamb being a little too honest here. This is some sound from the Super Bowl that is starting to show up on the internet. Cowboys fans, I think, are a little bit upset. Here's CeeDee Lamb being asked about who has the more passionate fan base, Cowboys or Eagles?
Who has a more passionate fan base, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
I can answer that.
Eagles.
Eagles?
They're crazy. Our Cowboys, our fans are deep, but they not. I don't want to say nothing crazy, but the Eagles got it.
They're deep. That's probably not. Look, I love CeeDee as an interview because CeeeDee will just, he told us this at training camp a couple years ago. He was doing really great during our interview, and Sean was like, dude, I got to be honest, you've become like a great interview. What, like, have you worked on that? And he's like, yeah, I actually have. And he was like, what changed for you? And he's like, I realize like the best thing to do is just tell the truth. Like, just tell the truth to whatever the question is and don't sit there and try to think about what's the right. Just like give the answer, like tell people how you feel. And then that's usually the best approach. And it is. And it gives some direct answers. This one, that's how he feels. And look, I mean,
that's 100% true.
He's right. They're insane. The Eagles fans are insane.
I saw there was local filthy news last night. It was like 8 p.m. and they already had some fans sitting in lawn chairs on the parade route waiting for the parade to start. That doesn't even start until sometime later today. They were out there at 8 p.m. last night. It was freezing.
Already vomiting. Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown an interception. Like, Elliott Shore Parks was all over this parade coverage. And it's there's already people, like, getting sick. They've been out there drinking so long. That's not Cowboys fans.
No. It is not. And I don't think Cowboys fans should be offended by that because, I mean, there's something awesome about the Eagles fan base and their passion, but they cross the line far too often and let that team suck a little bit, and all of a sudden the fan base turns on their own team. So they border on insanity, psycho, rabid, and that's definitely not the Cowboys fans. So I don't have any issue with CeeDee Lamb acknowledging this. Cowboys fans are deep. There's plenty of them. But there is a different level of, it's like the only thing that matters in an Eagles fan's life is the quality of their football team.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I mean, and let us know on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Do you have an issue with what CeeDee Lamb had to say here? Well, is that a problem?
I do wonder how much of that inspires the organization to be as aggressive and passionate about winning as their own fan base.
It's a good question. I mean, that's a good question for Broadus. Like, Brian, did you feel when you were there making decisions, did you feel like, I don't want to have to answer for this to this fan base? Like, he was in Philadelphia for you. Did he feel the heat of, like, they're nuts, and if I do the wrong thing, I'm gonna feel I gotta go out there and I've gotta do something different. I got to do something that falls in line with we're being competitive. Here's some of the answers on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text. Difference between Eagles fans and Cowboys fans. 817 says we have jobs. You got that?
That's true. There's a lot of unemployment going on there with these filthy fans.
214, he's right. It's not that they're better. We're just dead inside, is what the 214 says about Cowboys fans. 903, didn't Eagles fans want Sirianni fired last year?
Yes, and that's where it swings the other direction where they're over the top. They're absolutely insane, and when they're doing well, it's all wonderful. When they're not doing well, you don't even want to play for the Eagles because you feel like you're in enemy territory for a home game.
214, nope, CD is telling the truth. Eagles fans are bleeping nuts. 682, he's right. It looks like people are saying CD's right, and CD didn't say anything offensive, I don't think, about the Cowboys fan base. He talked about we're super deep. We don't do that, though. And I don't think he's saying he wants them to do that. I don't think he wants them to be like, I don't think that's a call for like, hey, can y'all be a little more like Eagles fans? I don't think he wants that.
No, this season would have been so much more miserable for CeeDee Lamb and every other Cowboys player if they were on the Eagles and they had this type of season that the Cowboys had. I mean, put them in filthy uniforms, put them at Lincoln Financial Field, getting absolutely obliterated at home from the start of the season. That would have been miserable.
Oh yeah. 682, in Dallas you don't need a mitt to catch batteries. See, that is the other benefit here, is that you don't have to worry about that sort of issue.
Yeah, it's a hazardous environment with Eagles fans. When it's going well, it's something to sort of appreciate and admire. But man, when things go south, that is a disaster. But again, does that help keep the Eagles front office on edge and making sure that they're doing everything in their power to put a winning team together? And the Cowboys, they either don't feel that pressure enough from the fan base, or they just simply do not care. Because I don't know if it would move the needle for Jerry and company if the Cowboys fan base acted like the Eagles fan base.
Over on the YouTube, Tejano Boy says, y'all would be the same about McCarthy. I mean, to be fair, we were kind of the same about McCarthy as they were about Sirianni. Now, Sirianni got them to a Super Bowl.
Yes, thank you. It's completely different.
But in terms of, like, he was having consistent success, and then the first year where they didn't, people wanted him fired. I mean, I wanted him fired. I wanted him fired in the middle of the success.
Yeah, but even the unsuccessful Sirianni Eagles go, like, they start the season, like, 10-0.
Yeah.
And then the bottom fell out for him. But give me a break, dude. You can't compare Sirianni and Mike McCarthy right now. Sirianni, despite all the reasons why he's pretty unlikable, you can't really argue with what he's been able to do, managing some of the stuff and personalities that he has to manage, and being able to bounce back from the disaster that was last year. And that thing could have just completely combusted and cratered on him, and he was able to, thanks to great talent and Howie Roseman doing an awesome job putting a roster together, bringing in Dick Fangio and company. They put together a nice group of personnel and coaches around Sirianni to allow him to do what he's done. But I mean, there's no argument that him and McCarthy are even on the same playing field right now.
So we're giving CD a pass on this one then.
Yeah, absolutely. He hit the nail on the head.
Are you ready for potentially some more devastating news about the NFL then? That's worse than CD potentially betraying Cowboys fans.
I guess I'm ready.
I think this directly deals with your process of how you consume games. Every Sunday you watch the NFL, what do?
Red Zone. So, I have a 7-hour commercial-free date with Scott Hansen.
Well,
it's delightful.
You did. You may not anymore.
Oh, he was in a contract year, huh?
He's in a contract year. Scott Hansen's contract is up with NFL Media. And apparently NBC is hard charging. NBC wants to add Scott Hansen for a wide-ranging job that would include Olympics and NFL coverage. So he got a lot of credit for during the Olympics. He did Gold Zone instead of Red Zone, and he did a bunch of Olympics coverage like this for NBC, and they thought he was fantastic. So NBC now is looking to pursue him to do more of the Gold Zone stuff when the Olympics roll around every 2 years, winter and summer. But then also, in addition to that, some sort of NFL presence with the things they do with Football Night in America. But you're talking about you would have a new presence. It is no longer going to be Scott Hansen, potentially, if NBC gets their way. Boy, if NBC comes in and just scoops up a Scott Hansen and a Charles Barkley and like all these different voices and all these different, they're going to have a hell of a team here pretty soon.
Yeah, NBC's got it going on. They're going all in. And
how much of your Red Zone viewing, though, is just about that's the best way to view a game versus you do think Scott Hansen adds to it?
Yeah, it's mostly just about, like, it's not going to deter me. I don't care who they put in there.
But he's good.
No, he's really, really good. Yes, he deserves to level up and get the pay raise and the promotion doing Olympic stuff and more opportunities and responsibilities. But I will still be a Red Zone man when we're not doing Cowboys stuff on a game day.
We're talking during the break. Do you think we're going to have angry Cowboys fans about the latest Detroit Lions hire?
Yes, I think Cowboys fans, rightly so, are frustrated. Tashard Choice, right?
Tashard Choice, the running backs coach, the former Cowboys running back, who was the running backs coach at the University of Texas. He has accepted a job as the Detroit Lions' new running back coach. And a lot of people were, I think there were a lot of folks who were very much in favor of bringing Tashard Choice on within the Cowboys organization. The problem I think they felt like was, I mean, that's... it's a lot of money to have to pay him. He's making a lot of money there at the University of Texas. And this is something we can get into with Nick Harris a little bit later, because I think he was plugged in on that coverage pretty close. But it's something where I think they felt like we can't pay potentially upwards of $1 million a year for a guy who's going to be just a position coach. He's not even a coordinator. Well, he's going to be reuniting now with Jahmyr Gibbs, who he coached for a couple years there at Georgia Tech. He was the Georgia Tech running backs coach, which is where Jahmyr Gibbs was before he transferred to Alabama. He's taking this job with the Lions now. So maybe you weren't ever going to get any sort of that kind of a deal, because it was just a unique opportunity for Tashard Choice. But I know there were people in Austin who were concerned for the last couple years that they were going to lose him if that job ever came up with the Cowboys, because they thought he wanted so bad to be the Cowboys running back.
I would love to know what the money difference was between whatever it is the Cowboys offered him and what Detroit was willing to offer him. Because we know the Cowboys, Jerry in particular, just doesn't really want to pay top dollar for coaches. So I think that has a lot to do with why the Cowboys weren't able to get him. But how big of a loss is it for Texas?
Massive. He is considered, that's a guy who people think is going to be a head coach one day. Like, he is a superstar. And he's done, I mean, look at all the great job he's done with all the injuries the Texas backfield has experienced over the last couple of years, with, you know, Jaden Blue and Jonathan Brooks and guys who get hurt, and just no matter who they change in and they put in there, they have success running the football. And these guys that he's put in the NFL, like Roschon Johnson and, you know, Jonathan Brooks and more that are going to be going into the NFL this year. And so he's got a fantastic track record. I interviewed him when he was at North Texas. So he was coaching at North Texas for a couple of years. And he was... you could tell just how much he was like in on, this is what I want my life to be. Like, I want to be a coach. This is all I'm about. and this is what I get the most fulfillment out of. And when you have that passion and that drive, and you're a knowledgeable guy like he was, like a guy who played the game and was a smart football player, it all comes together to be a guy who's a real up-and-comer. I would not be stunned if in the next 5-6 years we're talking about Deshaun Choice as an NFL head coach.
All right, let's play a little game called Spot the Mistake. We head to New Orleans for Kellen Moore's intro presser. Here's Gail Benson, owner of the Saints, introing him.
We wanted a coach that was exceptionally bright, creative, and most importantly, a tremendous leader. I believe that is exactly what we have in Ellen Moore.
Okay. I mean, just okay. One letter away from nailing that thing.
I thought your issue of this was going to be the third part, which was tremendous leader. I had not heard this clip, so I thought you were just setting this up. I was like, you're Ellen so.
Moore.
I was like, you're nitpicking. Don't be a D-bag. like he, you don't know that he's a bad leader. But also, she missed that because she's got that Louisiana accent. She said leader, like playback. She didn't even get leader. Peyton.
We wanted a coach that was exceptionally bright, creative, and most importantly, a tremendous leader. I believe that is exactly what we have in Ellen Moore.
Is he going to do like Ellen and like he's going to come at every coach's meeting dancing like she used to do on her show?
I don't think he's ever danced a day in his life. Okay, it is Sean and RJ here on a Friday. Sean and RJ back next week. We are going commercial free to the top of the hour. It is the Expressway. And before we get to the junk drawer and before we get to the college baseball ticket giveaway, we do have something special in store. Take it away.
60 seconds of trash radio with
Preston Russell.
We got Peyton Hillis.
I'd go finger in the peanut butter. Really good trash here, guys. Really good trash for about 60 seconds only.
This is an old nosebleed staple.
This feels good.
Yes, this feels nice. It's too bright outside to be doing this, it feels like.
Give it to me, Peyton. I mean, Preston.
Yeah, exactly. I think Mike Bassett calls me Philip now, so there you go. Guys, I don't know if you've seen this story. The video has surfaced the last couple of days off the coast of Chile. Bobby, do you know where Chile is?
Yeah, it doesn't have any beans. It's a meat-based thing.
Yep. So this is a son and his dad. They were kayaking off the coast of Chile in the open water. The dad's videotaping the son just kayaking. And this is a son, not like a young boy, but he's in his 20s. And all of a sudden, out of the water, a humpback whale, the greatest whale of all time, the humpback whale. Swallows the sun up.
Shots fired at the beluga.
Swallows the sun, goes underwater, submerges, and disappears. And I mean, if you're a father, your friends out there thinking, okay, did my son just get eaten alive here? And then shortly after, the whale spits him out. So the son is alive.
And this was a sperm whale?
No, this was humpback.
Oh.
Sperm's a two seed here. Humpback is one, in my opinion. Okay. We disagree.
Sure. I'm really a fan of both.
I like the orcas.
So in real time, a human being gets swallowed up by a whale and then shortly thereafter gets spit out?
I'm not an expert on the ocean.
Do we have a video? Yeah. Do we have footage of him being spit out?
We do. It's all over the Twitters out there, Instagrams. You can find it quickly. But yeah, all of a sudden, just out of the water, this whale swallows the sun with the boat and then spits it out. I guess he didn't taste good or anything. So, but yeah, I mean, at that moment, it's like you got to just accept death at that point. I mean, you get swallowed up.
I mean, you don't. He got spit out.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to accept death.
Well, if you're swallowed up in this humpback whale, you're thinking, okay, he's probably going to eat me next.
Haven't you seen Finding Nemo? Like, you can sit, you can hang out in that mouth for a little
Lord.
Bit.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So, very bad situation, but everyone's safe here. But as a dad, I mean, he's still recording the whole time. He's like, hold on, I got to get this on footage.
This thing is huge. Yeah. Wow, dude, that is incredible footage.
I like the water, but I do not like going out that deep. I'm more of a beach guy.
Wow, man. What an incredible... Hey, that was fantastic garbage. Thank you, Peyton. Woo. All right, before we get to the junk drawer, it's time for a ticket giveaway.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to the College Baseball Showcase at Globe Life Field in Arlington on Friday, February 21st through the 23rd. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
By the way, thank you to John Frank on the YouTube. They missed the whole sperm whale joke Bobby laid out. Thank you for catching it, John. I appreciate it.
I did not miss it. I was just sort of trying to glaze right over it. All right. Now,
see what you did there.
Now on a Friday, we're going to get Jared Sandler. Top
Jared
of the
Sandler
hour
at 8 o'clock. Yep.
Talking Rangers. He heads to Surprise here in just a few hours. But first, it's time for this.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk.
All right, Eric, I'm going to start us off here because I've got a pressing question. We were talking about this on the phone the other day, and this is something that's come up on the show before. And I have a strong disagreement with RJ Choppy on it, and it sounds like I'm going to have a strong disagreement with you. And I will set it up after we read this story. So a recent scientific study, I'm trying to see, let me see exactly who put this one out there. This is Breaking Science News in Australia is the one who put this out there. So it's just a website that puts out like peer-reviewed research and different topics like that. So new research from Australia says that after relations, Eric, as we sit here on Valentine's Day, we leave a unique microbial fingerprint on our partners. Both men and women have unique populations of bacteria around their region there, dubbed the sexome, like a genome. This signature, and this is the positive aspect of it, this signature could be used to identify the perpetrators of assaults, even in cases where, you know, other DNA hasn't been left behind. But this topic here about the unique bacteria populations of it that exist in both regions triggered a discussion or reminded me of a discussion we've had on the show before, which is Choppy says that after he's done with his intimate time, he will basically let it sit on him for the course of 24 hours, that he will go to bed, get up the next morning, go to the gym, sit in the steamer at the gym and let that all mix in with the particles there. And then he will go home and he will shower then and finally wash everything off. And I am one who says, doesn't have to be right then, but the next morning I'm getting up and I'm showering. Like, because I just don't think you can let that in general, the
fluids,
the stuff. I don't think that you can let that just linger on your region for that long, because that's gross to do that. You need to wash it off at some point. And I think going 18 hours roughly is too long. Go to sleep, fine. But wake up the next morning, take a shower, go to work. That's the way I view it. And it sounds like you come down on the angle of you're more similar to Choppy.
I do lean Chop on this one. It's
Why?
Just, it's not a guarantee. It's not like I think to myself, oh, I want this to remain on me for as long as possible. But all of a sudden, you have other priorities. And so if I don't feel the need to immediately or at any point, I'm going to take a shower just because I need a shower whenever that next time is, but it really has nothing to do with the remnants. I've really no issue with it.
See, and we brought Chickalina here. Chickalina was with me on this. He's like, yeah, you got like next morning, you got to shower. Not necessarily right then, but you got to shower the next morning. And
going to the steam room is pretty incredible from
Chop. And that's disgusting. Would you at least acknowledge the steam room is a step too far? 18 hours later, you're just like opening up the onions to everybody there.
You know, I don't want to know if I'm in the steam room with somebody who is still wearing last night's experience. but I can't say I haven't done that. I'm sure I have. I'm sure there's been a time where I found myself in a sauna hanging out with the fellas and there were still, but nobody knew, you know? I mean, if it's that over the top, like you do have to have some self-awareness about what you're dealing with.
But even if it's one time, that's one time, right? Like Choppy's saying he does it routinely. Like that's his process. It's not just like I just didn't happen.
That's his process.
It's just, it's like this is out. when Mike heard about this, Basic was in here. Basic was like, you could make sourdough bread in Choppy's shorts.
That's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross, and you're part of that apparently.
Wait, so what's the science behind this now that we have new technology?
It shows that we basically have a bacterial fingerprint that we leave behind when we have relations. That each person has a unique bacterial makeup that they can identify, which is great for identifying assaults and different things like that. That's going to like hopefully open up a lot of different things in terms of finding out criminals and being able to identify them. But on just the topic of what we've discussed before of should you actually shower maybe 8 hours after the fact, looks like the answer should be yes, and not just go, well, let me go work out at the gym after having sat all day at work and then just open it up to steam for everybody to breathe in at Lifetime Fitness in Roanoke. Gosh.
That's pretty amazing. Choppy is he's a next level dude, but I do lean more Chop on this one than you, perhaps. I also, did you see that in,
by the way, Purity 603 on the YouTube, that's not true. I always brush my teeth after that. So
in New Haven, Connecticut, they have proposed a bill in an effort to require that each movie advertisement or listing include and separately list the scheduled start time for the movie trailers and advertisements that precede the movie and then the advertised or listed movie time. So you know how you always, like, movie starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So it's 3:15 or 3:20.
Exactly. But yep. We already know this. This is already built in.
Yeah.
Everybody is aware of what the movie's situation is. If you don't want to see the previews, you don't have to show up for at least 15 minutes. I would say 15 to 20 minutes is a good barometer for this.
Now, the problem is runtime doesn't always match up with that. Sometimes when you see runtime listed on a movie, that's including the preview time. So if you see a theater saying it starts at 3 and it's 1:20, that is 15 minutes of preview in there. So you know you are getting there out of there at 1:20. Other times it's, well, no, there's 15, 20 minutes of previews and then it's 1 hour and 20 minute movie. So if you've got something scheduled that maybe there's like a little tighter turnaround or you're trying to tell a babysitter when you're going to be home, that can get frustrating when you're not exactly sure when does the movie end. That is a problem. I've had that issue before.
I hadn't considered that part, but the idea that we're wasting time trying to put laws together and requirements, movie theaters, you know what it is. This is standard. We've all known it for forever. And maybe you liked watching previews and that's great. But if you don't, I think this is an over the top situation here that's taking place in New Haven, Connecticut, trying to get the two separate times when the trailers are going to be done and when the movie's actually going to start. This is just, we've understood this for years. We know how this goes.
You don't like the...
if you're actually complaining about this, I think you're wild.
You don't like the Maria Menounos AMC First Look that plays before the trailer? They don't include that in the runtime either. When you get there, have you ever gotten there before the start time and they're just playing like weird, like it's a weird episode of like Extra basically? And it's like, what the hell is this? Or like Access Hollywood?
I don't think I've actually gotten there early enough
for
that.
No, you.
But I haven't been
to. You have children.
I rarely go to the movie theater.
That's true.
I go like once a year now when we're in Oxnard. Me and Walchuk will go on a little bro date and catch a flick.
I'll tell you one law that they're wanting to change as we do the junk tour here on 105 The Fan. It's not here. It's actually in Colombia. Now, Colombia, when you think of Colombia and you think of export, it's the first thing that comes to mind, or one of the first two things. You're probably thinking coffee, one. But other than coffee, what are you thinking of in terms of a Colombian export?
Colombian, like Colombian Bam Bam?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you, Ricky Bobby's dad there. It's the cocaine. And the Colombian president is tired of all the damn cocaine slander. So their president had an official government meeting that was broadcast to the whole country live on television last week. And he says that cocaine is only illegal because it comes from Latin America. He says that he said they're just getting targeted and that this is basically unfair. And it's this whole racket and this whole conspiracy. And he says it's been proven by scientists, cocaine, whiskey, same thing. They do the same thing to your body. They're both equally detrimental. So if you're going to legalize whiskey and you're going to make that a normal thing, then we need to have Jack Daniel's cocaine. But like a Jack and Coke needs to take on a new meaning, according to the president of Colombia. He wants to make sure that we're actually, he's tired of the exports being hurt there. But this is this seems a little biased. This is a little fox in the hen house, it feels like.
Okay, I am on virtuerecoverycenter.com trying to get to the bottom of this. Why cocaine is more dangerous than whiskey. While both cocaine, whiskey, crack, and other cocaine variants pose serious health risks, cocaine's impact is often more immediate and severe. Powerful stimulant, cocaine can trigger life-threatening conditions such as heart attacks, strokes, and seizures, even after a single use. And I would imagine it's more highly addictive? Not that alcohol is not, but
I would guess. But I mean, I guess I don't have evidence behind that. My ex is in Texas on the YouTube is saying he's right. He's like, it's science, same mechanism of action. They're both the same thing, basically. That's at least what my exes in Texas believes on the YouTube.
Well, then that probably says more about the fact that whiskey is legal. Not that cocaine should be, but maybe we should dial back on the whiskey is probably what it is.
Yeah,
trying to prop up cocaine is something that we should be able to have. Is cocaine something that only comes from Latin America? We don't have our own made in America, Colombia's, just tried and true red, white, and blue cocaine.
But I mean, it's like they're the biggest exporter of it. So it's like you can get pizza somewhere else, but if you can get it from Italy, don't you want it from Italy? Like, I guess that's the point. Is what the Colombia president?
The purest form.
We only got a little bit of time left. Do you want to play the Maxine Dexter audio?
Oh my gosh, this. Sure.
So this Oregon congresswoman, this is a Democrat named Maxine Dexter. She was at a rally the other day, and she was talking about Donald Trump and President Trump. And she said that, look, she doesn't cuss normally, but she felt the need to dip into some foul language. It's clear she doesn't cuss normally because when she attempted to throw in a little bit of vulgar language to punctuate her point, it did not come out the way she intended.
I've been told I have 30 seconds, so I am going to tell you that we do have to, I don't swear in public very well, but we have to Trump.
I'm sorry?
Please don't tell my children that I just did that.
The way they cheer for it. Like, hell yeah, we do.
Does anybody even know what she just said? Does she know what she just said?
I assume she's trying to say, like with the Nico joke earlier that we told, or the Nico Valentine, I assume it's like, hey, we gotta screw him over or something like that.
Trump.
But no, play it again.
One hell of a threat.
Play it again,
lady.
And play just the excited supporters there for it.
We have to Trump.
Yeah. That's scarier than any death threat he's ever received in his life.
It's like going into a topless bar. They can say, yeah. Oh, all right.
Unbelievable, dude. This lady is actually, she has a prominent position in Oregon.
She's a congresswoman.
She's a congresswoman.
Yeah, she's a representative. Maxine Dexter.
Wow.
And yeah, this was at a rally the other day where they were stating their opposition. And by the way, this is not a state representative. This is a U.S. representative. First term, though, apparently. This is a first term U.S. representative. So this was kind of like,
she's a one and done.
This is her coming out party. Like, this is her like, all right, here's my introduction to the nation. We got to bleep Trump, baby.
That is as insane a sound as I've ever heard. That's not a parody.
Nico tried to describe the trade.
That's real. This isn't some satire fake bit. That's not an SNL bit. That was real?
Yeah, yeah. It's 100% real.
Unbelievable. Okay, let's talk some Rangers with Jared Sandler next right here on The Fan.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.